So we're in our summer series called Good Vibes. In the past 3 weeks, we've been learning how to share good vibes with other people, to show people the sun. So we learned a few weeks ago about curbing our complaining, and you can find all these sermons on our app and on our website and on our Vimeo channel and all that stuff. But we learned about curbing our complaining, we learned about being encouragers, and we learned about generosity. So we do these things to send out good vibes in hopes to show people Jesus. So today what we're going to do is we're going to continue with our next topic that will help us to send out good vibes, and that is being positive. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but think about this. Are you a positive person? Are you a positive person? Okay. This is an interesting topic to deal with because there's many different tips and teachings about how to be a positive person. And if you went home and Googled like how to be a positive person, there's a lot of stuff that would come up. But, you know, some say the way to be positive is compare yourself to people who kind of have it worse than you. So if you're negative, you're thinking like, oh, I'm kind of negative. Let me just compare myself to like the lowest common denominator here, and then I'll feel better about myself. That's what the world will say. Some say ignore the negative things and focus in on just the positive things. Ignore the negative things and focus in on just the positive things. And others would say this, surround yourself with positive people. Now, these can all be helpful, and maybe at times they can be good ideas, but the truth is they may not work or they may not be possible. For instance, compare yourself with someone who has it worse. Well, what if there is nobody around you that has it worse? What if you are the one that other people are comparing themselves to and saying, I have it better than them, okay? Ignore the negative and focus in on positive things. What if the negative things need some significant amount of attention? What if you need to really pay attention to negative things so you can fix things, so you can work on things? Or what if you ignore the negative things and basically you live in denial of what really is happening? Now, that's not going to work. Here's another one. Surround yourself with positive people. Maybe you go to work and you go to school and there's a bunch of negative people around, or maybe you just wake up in the morning and all you have to do is go down to the breakfast table and you see all the negative people. So you can't get away, right? You can't get away. So these things don't always work. These things base positivity on trying to like either ignore our situation, maybe change our situation, or maybe respond to the situation in a little bit of a different way. But our positivity needs to be based on something that is always true and cannot change because it's based on who God is and what he has done in my life. Okay, it's things that are always true and never change. It's who God is and what he has done in my life. So I could be positive because of who I am in Jesus and what I actually have in Jesus. And when I'm positive, here's what happens. I send out good vibes. I send out good vibes and hopefully show other people who Jesus is and how he has done something for them, and so they can know about that. So today from Romans chapter 8, we're going to learn what is true about you. What is true about you if you are a believer in Christ? Now, believing these things will help you be a positive person that gives out good vibes no matter what the situation. So we're going to start right off in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. In order to be positive, I need to first believe I am free. I am free. Let's look at Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. It says this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We all love freedom, right? You love freedom. You love to be free. We live in a free country, and obviously, not many of us really know what the feeling of not being free is like, do we? I mean, we enjoy this country. We enjoy the freedom that we have. But let me just tell you this. If you struggle with sin in your life, something that you can't control, something that you're ashamed of, something that you feel bad about, something that you did that offended other people or offended God, you actually do know the feeling of not being free. The reason why is you are enslaved by your sin. You're enslaved by your past sinful action, and you're enslaved by guilt and shame. You're kind of carrying this around, right? If you're dealing with something like that, it's almost impossible to be positive because you have this internal struggle going on. Do you realize that? It's impossibly positive when you have an internal struggle going on, and this will cause you to be negative. So you have this internal struggle going on. You don't have peace because your sin is causing you not to have peace. Isaiah 48:22 says this, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." The wicked has no peace. When we are carrying a sin around, when we're shouldering a sin or struggling with sin, we're not going to have peace. There's always going to be an internal struggle. You need to be freed from your sin and this feeling. Well, how can we be set free? How can we be set free? Well, verses 3 and 4 kind of answer that, and they tell us this. In verse 3, it says this, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So basically, what we learn is this, that Jesus Christ was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was the God-man who came down to pay the price for our sin. Notice it says in that passage, it's the righteous requirement of the law. Do you know what that means? That means sin needs to be paid for. So if you're carrying sin around, right, all of a sudden you feel the guilt and shame because you know that sin needs to be paid for. But Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a perfect life and then died a sinner's death in order to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the scriptures tell us this, all who believe will have eternal life. But you know what? Interestingly enough, some of you might remember what Jesus said in John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, guess what? You are free indeed. You know what he set us free from? He set us free from being enslaved by sin. Sin is no longer our master. So now as believers in Christ, we have to know that we are free, that we are forgiven, that we are free of those past sins. Those past sins don't define who we are. And you know what? If you let those past sins define who you are, you will always struggle with being negative. You will always struggle with being negative. You'll never look at the best in other people. You'll have inner turmoil. You'll be critical of other people because you're holding on to something that God says, you know what? I got this. You're free from it. I'm setting you free. If you're always negative, you may be that way because you're enslaved by a current or past sin. And you need to believe that in Christ, when you trust in him, you are free. In that opening song we sang, it said, "Chains are broken, shame has fallen, all my sins are gone." He set you free. He loosed those chains. He's freed you from that. You know what? I see this all the time. People are negative and critical of everything and everyone. And here's what I see. It's a window into their soul that they are not at peace and don't feel free. So they're negative. So if somebody's not in Christ, obviously that's true because they're not freed of those sins. But do you realize that you in Christ can kind of fall into that pattern and hold on to those sins and hold on to the shame and the guilt and you have inner turmoil? And guess what? Eventually, we know this to be true, whatever's going on in here, right, will come out. You know, if you have family problems, friend problems, you're dealing with issues with somebody and you see it in them, and you're just like, something deeper is going on. I wish they would understand it. It's not just this. It's not just what's going on. It's not just the altercation maybe or the interaction you're having with the person. It might be something else going on. Parents, you need to pay close attention because this is so important with our kids, right? Because when they come home and they're mad about something and they're discouraged, they're stressed and this and that, you have to kind of get to the root. Where's their heart? What's going on? What's the deeper problem that they're struggling with or thing that they're going through? We have to believe as believers that we are free. But now that we understand that we are free, we should have a different mindset. So we're free. We don't pay for the sin. Jesus paid for the sin. We don't have to carry the guilt and the shame around. We don't have to be identified with that. That does not define us. But now we have to change our mindset. We have to have a different mindset, different from what we used to think. Let's look at chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So here's what Paul is saying in this section. He teaches us that we could either set our mind to the things of the flesh, meaning our fleshly desires, or we could set our mind on the things of the Spirit, meaning what God desires for us. Do you realize if you're in a negative pattern, here's what's going to happen. You're just going to set your mind on the things of the flesh, the way I feel about things, the way things are going. When we set our minds on the flesh, we'll eventually become more and more negative because we're going to be let down. And here's what happens. When you set your mind on the flesh, you say, oh, I want to do this, or I want this, or I want this in my life, or I want to have this experience. And then you grasp after it, and maybe sometimes it's a sinful thing. And here's what happens. It seems so tempting, right? We wouldn't sin if it wasn't tempting. And then when we bring it into our lives, we're let down by it. We're never fulfilled by it, and we're never satisfied. And here's what happens after that. Then we get negative. Because we're like, I wanted this. I got it. And it didn't deliver. It didn't deliver. What is wrong with me? Then we start to think that. What is wrong with this thing? And then we're just negative. When we set our minds to the things of the Spirit, we start to look at life through God's perspectives, and we realize what is important and where fulfillment comes from. And that is in our relationship with Him. But we can't do this on our own. Some of you are sitting here right now and saying, well, that's kind of hard, okay? It's kind of hard to be like super spiritual like you're talking about. That's only for like pastors and missionaries and Bible college students. Well, let me just tell you this. None of us have that down. We all need help. And that's where we need to realize our next point, and that is, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't have to do this alone. You know what? In myself, if I'm doing this alone, I want to focus in on the flesh, and I bet you do too. We want to focus in on the things that make us happy or things that we think will fulfill us. But we have to remember every day, I have the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. He says this, you, however, he's reminding them, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Let me just tell you this. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. If you are not a believer in Christ, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's either or. Believer, Spirit. Not a believer, no Spirit. So then he says this in verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now what he's saying is this. The Holy Spirit, you can't be positive on your own, but through the Holy Spirit, He'll give us power. We may have things going on in our lives that are way too difficult for us to handle. In fact, we can't handle them. Maybe you're suffering the loss of a loved one. You can't handle that on your own. I'll just tell you that. You can't handle that. If anybody's gone through a loss of a loved one, you know the feelings and the grief that you go through, you can't handle on your own. If you're dealing with addiction, you can't handle that stuff on your own. You can't. You just can't. When we can handle them, we could either become negative or we could turn towards God and find help in His Spirit. Through His power, not only can we handle it, He can show us now how He can bring life to it. Remember what it says. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, guess what? Lives in us. We have that power. So now you're looking at a situation and you're just saying, I can only think of bad options here. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're like, option one, stinks. Option two, stinks. Option three, stinks even more. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do here? So you might look and you might say, there are only bad options. How could I possibly be positive? Well, it's only through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can bring something positive out of it. Well, then you're saying, yeah, right. Okay, go on. How is this going to change? How can positivity come out? How can I even think positive? How can this even work? Well, this brings us to our next point, and that is this. And this is so important. You just have to remember, I am God's child. I am God's child. Let's look at verses 12 through 17. He says this. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't belong to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is like a term of endearment. It's like saying to God, Daddy. It's like an intimate relationship. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. So now what he's saying is, listen, you are God's child. And we can all agree on this, I'm sure. Families can be tough, right? Your family of origin can often dictate how negative or positive you are. Have you realized that yet? Your family of origin, how you were brought up, kind of how you were programmed. I was just talking to my oldest son the other day, and I was just like, yeah, sometimes, you know, when I'm thinking something or I'm going to say something, I see, you know, like my mom or my dad saying that. And like, I'm like, where did that come from? And I know where it came from because it was programmed into my brain, right, to say that. And we were laughing about it, and I'm not going to get into detail, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Regardless of your upbringing, you can be positive because as a believer in Christ, you are God's child now. You have a new family. Not to be cliche about this, but here's the thing. We have a good, good father, okay? We have a good, good father. And that good father takes care of his children no matter what the situation is. So now you might be thinking, well, how can this situation, how can something positive come out of this situation where option one, two, and three all stink? Well, guess what? We have a good father who can actually bring something out of this situation. So here's what I want you to do. Next time you're in a situation where there's no good options, it seems like the only way that you're going to even be able to seem to deal with it in your mind is complain about it, be negative about it, and think there's no good options. Here's what I want you to do. Imagine thinking this. My father is going to take care of this. Just think that. My father is going to take care of this. I am God's child. I am walking through this. This is so difficult. I can't handle this. I have God's spirit with me. But you know what? My father's got this. I know he does. I know he has this. And as children, it says, we're heirs. We're heirs. That means everything that he owns is and will be ours. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? He's the God of this universe. He says we're heirs, but I like this part. It's not like heirs, like, you know, when your parents pass away and they leave you a bunch of stuff and you're like, oh, cool, I got stuff, but I don't have my parents anymore. But you know what? We have God's stuff, so to speak, but we still have him. We still have him. We still have our fellowship with him. And you know what? When we pass from this earth, we have an even deeper and greater fellowship with him. And the good news is if you lost somebody who was in Christ, you have fellowship with them as well. Which brings us to the next point, and that is this. I have hope. I have hope. If you are going to be a positive person, you have to remember, I have hope. Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 says this. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Paul is speaking here of times of suffering. Of course, when we suffer, we want to be negative, right? I mean, part of us, like, we just feel like, oh, I got to vent, I got to complain, I got to be negative, because we think, right, that it's going to make us feel better. We think that that negativity or that complaining is going to make us feel better, but what we learned in the complaining sermon, remember that? That you actually become more of a complainer, more miserable, and guess what? Nobody wants to be around you, and you're giving out bad vibes. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? You have hope. You have hope. I consider the sufferings of this world not even comparable to the glory that I'm going to receive. But then he reminds us here what's going on. And here's what I want to tell you. This passage, you have to jot this down, because here's a big question that the people that you're trying to show Jesus will have. They'll say something like this: how can you believe in a God when there's all this suffering in the world? How can I believe that there's a loving God there, that he's in control of things? That how can I believe that when all this suffering? But verses 19 through 23 actually kind of explain why there is suffering. Let's look at verse 19. He says this: for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So now what Paul is saying, he's saying the reason we want to be negative is because we are cursed by sin, okay? The world is cursed by sin. The creation is cursed by sin. Everything going on is a product of being in this sinful world. So when the people around us sin, when we sin, when the country's in turmoil, when there's natural disasters, there's the negative mindset tends to set in, right? Because we just look at the sinful things that are going on. But you know what? We eagerly await, because we have hope, because he's going to make this different. You know, people are like this. When I was in high school and college, about 3 years, I pumped gas. I was a gas pumper. And if you've ever done that, you might have realized this. You learn not much about pumping gas, but you learn a lot about people, okay? And here's what I learned about people while I pumped gas. About 95% of people are negative, okay? And here's how I know this. Because when they pull in and they start a conversation, or, you know, especially the guys, because for some reason guys like to get out, okay, and watch you do the job, they will bring up something to talk about, usually in current events. And you know what I've noticed? It was never anything positive. It was always negative. It was always like, this weather stinks. Can you believe what's going on in this country? Can you believe what happened in the news? Can you believe that natural disaster? And here's the thing. Now, I started to really think, in some senses, people came in to fill up their gas and drop off some bad news, okay? So next time you go to the gas station, okay, just drop off some good news, okay? Tell them Jesus sent you, okay? As believers, though, we can be different, right? Why? I have hope, okay? Yeah, things in this world stink. And guess what? I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, because I'm supposed to be the bearer of good news. But it's not going to get any better in this world until Jesus comes back. So now we pick up in verse 24 through 25, and he says this: for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with patience. So it's telling us this: you're waiting, and we might not see the whole picture. We might see this bad situation that we're in, and we're just thinking like, I can't see the end of the tunnel here. I can't see how God's going to use this. I can't see how I'm going to be delivered from it. Well, let me just tell you. You have hope. And guess what? Here are things that people can see. They can see the fact that you have hope. And you can be that positive person in their life that's going to bring good vibes. And they're going to look at you and say, I can't believe you're dealing with the situation that you're dealing with and acting like that and living like that and having that kind of faith and having that strong of faith. And you still praise the Lord like Job. You're still praising the Lord. And guess what? That's sending out good vibes. People are like, man, I need that in my life. Which brings us to our next point, and that is this. I have purpose. I have purpose. Let's look at verses 26 through 30. 26 through 30 says this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. There's a lot here, and I'm just going to go over a little bit, but I have purpose, meaning this. We have the Holy Spirit. He's come into our lives. And you know what? When negative things happen in our lives, and you might have felt this way before, you're like, I don't even feel like praying right now. But in fact, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what would make this better. Like, I just can't see the end of this. So what it's saying is the Spirit actually empowers us and actually groans deeply inside us to pray to the Father to actually heal us, whatever that situation might be. When we realize that, God has called us to himself and gave us his Spirit and then therefore gave us a purpose. So now when these bad and negative situations happen, it can be used to make us more like Jesus if we respond the way that he wants to. And let me just tell you, it's not by being negative. It's not by being negative. It's not by focusing on all the negativity that's come out of this situation, but it's actually by focusing in on who God is and what he's done. Like the song that we sang, right? Through it all, we focus on him. Our life is in his hands. You know what? Maybe for you, most of the difficult things that you have been through or are going through or will go through will become your most fruitful ministry opportunity. Do you realize that? What you're going through might become your most fruitful ministry opportunity. Do you know we have three ministries here at the church that is the concept, right? Grief share. What's the concept? Nobody wants to join that, okay? But you go to that because you're grieving. The people that run it, they're grieving, or they've grieved, and they want to help other people. So they use the difficult circumstance in their life and change it into something that can be used for God's purposes. Divorce care, nobody wants to go through that, but you know what? People that have walked through that, have gone through it, have learned from it, and have learned how to help other people through it. Celebrate recovery, addiction ministry, nobody wants to go through that. But guess what? The people that went through it, that are running it, that are helping other people are saying, this was the worst situation that came through my life, but God has a purpose for me. And he's going to use this for me to help other people so they can see Jesus. That's what we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to spread those good vibes, to be positive people, to help them to see who Jesus is, which brings us to the next thing we need to believe, and this one's kind of interesting, and it is this. I am a winner. And some of you are like, I'm not, okay? Let me just tell you, you are a winner. In Christ, you are a winner. Maybe you're believing what culture says. Maybe you're believing what culture says. If you don't have a lot of money, you're a loser. If you don't have a successful business, you're a loser. If you don't have a perfect marriage, you're a loser. If your kids don't obey you, you're a loser. Uh-oh, we're all in trouble, right? Okay, here's the thing. The culture will say, winners have this and losers don't have or have this, okay? Winners have this. Winners are winning and losers are losing. But listen to what Romans 8, 31 through 37. Remember, this is penned by Paul. And by all accounts, when you look at the life of Paul, when you look at the godliness and the spiritual things he has done, you would say a winner. But if you were to compare him to the world standard, the world would say loser. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He had no money. It was a difficult life. Jesus, right? The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, okay? So you might look at somebody homeless and say, they're a loser. Jesus was homeless. See, we are winners in Christ. And here's what it says in verse 31 through 37. It says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Let me just stop there for a second. Remember, we're God's kids. Remember, we get to call him daddy, father. He who did not spare his own son. Do you think that God is not going to get you through what you're going through right now? Do you think that he's just going to leave you? Like, I saved you, but I don't really feel like doing the rest. Okay, I did the hard yards, but you know what? I'm stopping now. Where is kids? So then in verse 33, it says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors, okay? Not only are we winners, we're more than winners, okay? We're more than winners because of him who loved us. The world might say we're losers, but we win in Christ. And you know what? The reason why is because of our last point. The last thing you need to remember to maintain this positive mindset, I am loved. I am loved. Let's look at verses 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am loved. You know what? It doesn't matter who in this world loves you. Okay? It doesn't matter how much love you're getting from other people. You need to know, I am loved by the King of the universe, by the God who loves me. You know what? When we believe these eight things, we can be positive and send out good vibes.